Esmalt Warren R. Magnusson, Rootsi Baptistiliidu peasekretär, räägib Jeesuse Kristuse kogudusest maailmas. See ettekanne on peetud 1986. aastal Tallinnas Kalju Baptisti koguduses. Tõlgib Jüri Puusaag.
Heart is full for having the privilege of being with you folk in Estonia these days.
Minu süda on täis tänu, et ma olen saanud olla Eestis neid päevad.
I am so grateful that I'm a part of the family of God.
Ma olen nii tänulik, et ma olen Jumala suure pere liige.
And it is a great privilege for me to meet my brothers in Christ in many places in the world.
Ja minu suureks eesõiguseks on olnud kohtuda Jeesuse Kristuses vendi mitmes maailma paigas.
And you have encouraged me with your commitment to my Lord Jesus Christ.
Ja te olete julgustanud mind, kui ma näen teie pühendumust oma Issanda tööle.
And you have been an encouragement to me in my faith.
Ja te olete julgustanud mind ka minu usus.
And I thank God for the privilege to just to be with you today again.
Ja tänan Jumalat selle võimaluse eest olla taas teie keskel.
I would like to talk to you about the Church of Jesus Christ.
Ma tahaksin täna kõnelda teile Jeesuse Kristuse kogudusest.
I know you are most familiar with the church.
Ma usun, et te olete enamus tuttavad kogudusega.
Jesus Christ said, I will build my church.
Jeesus Kristus on ütlenud, mina ehitan oma koguduse.
And he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Ja ta ütles, et põrguväravad ei võida seda mitte ära.
One thing I am assured of today.
Ja üks asi, milles ma olen kindel täna päeval.
That until the day that Jesus comes again, the church will be here.
Kogudus püsib maa peal kuni nende päevadeni, mil Jeesus Kristus taas tuleb siia.
Now, we recognize that there are many churches.
Meie tõdeme, et on olemas väga mitmeid kogudusi.
Though we are all a part of one body.
Aga meie kõik oleme selle ühe ihu osad.
In my fellowship we have about 800 churches.
Meie venduses on umbes 800 kogudust.
And we recognize the autonomy of the local church.
Ja meie tunnustame kohaliku koguduse autonoomia.
And yet in Christ we are one.
Aga Jeesuse Kristuses me oleme üks.
But as I have visited the churches in America, I discover that each one of them is different.
Ja kui ma olen külastanud erinevaid kogudusi Ameerikas, siis ma näen, kui erinevad nad on.
They are just like individuals.
Nad on nagu indiviidid.
As I come to know you, I recognize that each of you are different.
Ja kui ma külastan teid, siis ma näen ka, et teie igaüks olete erinevad.
Though you have many things in common, you each have your own personality.
Ja kuigi teil on väga palju ühiseid jooni, aga igaühel on oma isiklikud eripärad.
And I have discovered this is true of the church.
Ja nii on see maksev ka koguduse kohta.
Some churches are large in size.
Mõned on suured kogudused.
And some are small.
Teised väiksed.
Now, some are city churches, some are rural churches.
Ühed on linnakogudused, teised maakogudused.
And while we have many things in common, each one of us are different.
Ja kuigi on siis palju ühist, on ka palju erinevust.
But I would like to tell you the story of one church that's recorded in the book of Acts.
Aga ma tahaksin rääkida loo ühest kogudusest, kellest on kirjutatud Apostlite tegude raamat.
And I think there are some things we'll find in common with it.
Ja ma usun, et meie leiame sealt väga palju vajalikke jooni enesele.
The story of that church begins in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts.
Ja selle koguduse jutt või ajalugu algab Apostlite tegude 8. peatükis.
And Luke records that on that day a great persecution broke out against the church of Jerusalem.
Ja Luukas kirjutab, et sel ajal algas suur Jerusalema koguduse taga kiusand.
This had followed upon the death of Stephen.
Ja see järgnes siis Stefanuse surmale.
Stephen was the first martyr, as you remember, of the church.
Stefanus oli esimene märtyr, nagu te teate.
And we might say that this was a dark day for the church.
Ja meie võime ütelda, et see oli kogudusele üks pime aeg, pime päev.
But there is good news in that story.
Aga selles on head sõnumid.
Because it says that all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria.
Jumala sõna ütleb, et kõik peale apostlite pillati laiali üle maa.
Now godly men buried Stephen, mourned deeply for him.
Ja Jumal ühendas neid veel sügavamalt endaga.
And Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off men and women and put them in prison.
Ja Saulusest on öeldud, et Saulus rüüstas kogudust käies mööda kodasid ja tõi välja mehe naise, andis nad vangi.
Now you might ask me, what's the good news about that?
Ja mis head on siis selles sõnumis?
Well, Luke says in verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went.
Aga nüüd neljas salm, kaheksamas peatükis, siis käisid hajali olevad mööda maad ja kuulutasid evangeeliumi sõna.
The day of persecution became a day for proclamation.
Tagakiusamise päev sai kuulutamise päevaks.
And you will discover all through history that wherever the church has been persecuted, it's been a proclaiming church.
Ja see on ajaloo jooksul nii, et igal pool, kus kogudus on tagakiusatud, sellega kuulutatakse Jumala sõna.
3 years ago, I had the privilege to be in Kenya.
3 aastat tagasi ma olin Keenias.
And we were looking forward to meeting with some Baptist friends there from all over Africa.
Ja me olime seal ühel üle-aafrikalisel baptisti koosolekul.
And because Kenya is next door to Ethiopia, we hope to see some of our Ethiopian friends there.
Ja kuna Kenya on siis väga lähedal Etioopiale, me lootsime kohata ka oma sõpru Etioopias seal.
But during that week, we received a wire.
Aga ei seda juhtunud.
And in that wire was bad news.
Ja me kuulsime halbu uudiseid hoopis.
The first bad news was that they could not come. Their government would not allow them to leave the country.
Esimene halb uudis oli, et Etioopia vennad ei saanud tulla sinna konverentsile valitsuse lubanud.
The second bad news was that the church at Ambo had been closed.
Ja teine halb uudis oli siis place
Ambo.
Ja et üks kogudus siis Ambonis oli suletud just sel ajal.
Just a few months before the church at Addis Ababa had been closed.
Ja varem oli kogudus suletud Addis Abebas.
And then they said the third bit of bad news, the government would allow only 5 people to meet together at any one time.
Ja veel üks kolmas paha uudis oli, et valitsus lubab ainult kokku tulla kuni 5 inimesi gruppe.
So no longer could their congregations worship together.
Ja jäi mulje, et enam ei ole võimalik kogutsel töötada.
I left Africa with a heavy heart.
Ja ma lahkusin Aafrikast väga raske südamega.
I wondered what would happen to my believer friends in Ethiopia.
Ma olin väga mures, mis juhtub minu Etioopia vendade jõdedega.
2 weeks later, I received a word at my desk.
Ja 2 nädalat hiljem mul oli laua peal üks teade.
They reported there had just been 23 baptisms at Ambo.
Ja nad kirjutasid, et just 23 inimest seal Ambonis sai ristitud.
And that there had been 12 baptisms at Addis Ababa.
Ja 12 ristitud Addis Abebas.
And I wondered if I should not pray that God would close the doors of the church in America.
Ja ma peaaegu oleksin hakanud paluma, et Jumal sulgi ka Ameerikas kogudust uksed.
If that's what it would take to have some baptism.
Kui see on nii kasuks ristimisele.
You see, God is at work in Ethiopia.
Ja nii kui Jumal töötab Etioopias.
Last year our church has reported more baptisms than any year in history.
Ja viimasel aastal nemad teatasid kõige suuremast ristitud arvust ajalus.
Days of persecution become days for proclamation.
Tagakiusamise päevad sain kuulutuse päevadeks.
The fellowship of which I was a part came out of persecution.
Ja see sama vendlus, milles mina teenin, see on ka tulnud läbi kiusamiste, tagakiusamiste.
In 1848, a little group of believers organized in Sweden.
1848, üks pisikene rootslaste grupp.
They called F.O. Nelson to be their pastor.
Nad kutsid oma pastoriks Nelsoni.
F.O. Nelson was fined and put in jail a number of times for preaching the gospel in that church.
Ja see sama vend Nelson oli vangi pandud selle eest, et evangeeliumi kuulutas.
They put him in prison for 72 days and fed him on bread and water.
Ja panid ta vangi siis 78 päevaks, toitas seda vee ja leivakanni.
They did everything they could to stop him from preaching the gospel in that church.
Nad tegid kõik, et ta lakkaks evangeeliumi kuulutamist.
And finally they banished him from Sweden.
Ja lõpuks nad ajasid ta Rootsist hoopis välja.
And you might say that's bad news.
Ja te ütlete, see oli paha uudis.
Well, that was good news, because when he came to America, he started 7 churches in 7 years.
Aga see oli just heaks uudiseks. Kui ta oli välja saadetud, siis tema alustas tööd 7 kogudusega Ameerikas nende välja saadetud hulgas.
And so we give thanks to God for the King of Sweden for what he did for our fellowship.
Ja nii siis vend tänab ka täna Rootsi kuningat selle välja ajamise eest.
But if you turn to chapter 11, you continue the story.
Aga kui me nüüd pöörame oma tähelepanu 11. peatükile, siis me jätkame seda lugu.
In verse 19 it said, those who had been scattered by persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch.
11.19, aga need, kes olid hajutatud viletsuse läbi, mis oli tekkinud Stefanuse pärast, käisid maad läbi Phoeniciani ja Küprose saareni ja Antiochiani.
Everywhere they went, they just shared what God had given to them in Christ.
Ja igale poole, kus nad läksid, nad kuulutasid, mida Jeesus Kristus neil on teinud.
But Luke said they had been telling the message only to the Jews.
Aga Lukas ütleb, et nad ei jutustanud mitte ainult juutidele.
Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also.
Nad rääkisid ka kreetlastele väga mitmest paigas.
They weren't sure that the gospel would work with the Greeks.
Ja nad ei olnud kindel, kas see evangeelium on mõistetud kreetlastele.
But all of a sudden they discovered that something happened.
Aga oma imeks nad märkasid, et midagi on juhtumas.
And they told them the good news about the Lord Jesus.
Ja nad rääkisid neile head uudist Jeesus Kristusest.
And the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord.
Ja 21 salm ütleb, ja issanda käsi oli nendega ning suur hulk uskus ja pöördus issanda poole.
And here you have the birth of the church at Antioch.
Ja siin me näeme koguduse sündi Antiochias.
And how did it begin?
Ja kuidas see algas?
First of all, the word of faith was preached to them.
Esmalt usu sõna sai kuulutatud neile.
And Luke said they believed and turned.
Ja Lukas ütleb, nad uskusid ja pöördusid.
Now what does it mean to believe, and what does it mean to turn?
Mida tähendab uskuda ja mida tähendab pöörduda?
Well, if you go to Romans 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, you have the gospel in miniature.
Kui me pöördume Rooma kirja poole, otsite.
10.
Rooma 10.
8, 9, and 10.
Ja salmid 8, 9 ja 10.
Paul says, this is the word of faith which we preach.
Paulus ütleb seda, et see on usu sõna, mida me kuulutame.
That was the word that was proclaimed at Antioch.
Ja see sama usu sõna sai kuulutud Antiochias.
And what was the word of faith?
Ja mis on see usu sõna?
Paul said first of all that if you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead.
See on siis, et kui sina usud oma südamest, et Jeesus Kristus on Jumala poolt üles äratud.
And why do we speak about the resurrection of Jesus?
Ja milleks on vaja rääkida Jeesus üles tõusmist?
Because we understand from the gospel that this is the one proof that Jesus would give that he is the Son of God.
Meie evangeeliumidest loeme, see on üks kinnitus sellele, et Jeesus on Jumala poeg.
When they challenged Jesus in the temple, they said, give us a sign to prove that you are what you claim to be.
Kui nad Jeesus nagu üles või üle kuulasid templis, siis nad ütlesid, anna meile mingi märk, et sa oled Jumala poeg.
If you are truly from God, give us a sign.
Kui sa oled tõesti Jumalalt tulnud, siis anna üks märk.
The Jews were great believers in signs.
Juudid uskusid väga niisugused märke.
Jesus said, I will give you one sign.
Jeesus ütles, ma annan teile ühe märgi.
He said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up again.
See oli siis templi lõhkumise lugu. Kolme päevaga lõhutakse, see tempel ehitaks üles.
And they laughed. They said, Herod has been 46 years in building this temple.
Ja nad naersid selle peale, et 46 aastat on seda ehitatud.
And this one said, I will raise it up in 3 days.
Ja üks siin tuleb ja ütleb, et ma ehitan kolme päevaga üles.
But John explained he was speaking of his own body.
Aga Johannes ütleb, ta rääkis oma ihust.
Because God does not live in buildings of brick and mortar.
Jumal ei kasuta mitte siis telliskivi ehitusi.
Jesus was saying God is present in this temple.
Jeesus ütles, Jumal on esindatud selles elavas templis.
The word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Ja sõna sai lihaks ja sai elama meie kesken.
And Jesus said, destroy this temple in which God dwells and I'll raise it up again in 3 days.
Ja Jeesus lõhkuga see tempel ja see tempel ehitatakse üles kolme päevaga.
That was the only sign, the only proof he promised.
Ja see oli ainukene märk, mida Jeesus tõotas anda.
And one day they sought to destroy that body.
Ja ühel päeval nad tegid selle, nad lõhkusid selle templi.
They nailed it to a cross.
Nad naelutsid tema ristile.
They watched it die.
Nad nägid, kuidas ta suri.
They laid it away in a tomb.
Ja nad ootasid tema surma märke.
And they sealed the tomb.
Ja nad panid ta hauda ja pitseerisid haua.
But on the 3rd day he rose again, just as he said he would.
Aga Jumala sõna ütleb, kolmandal päeval ta tõusis, nii nagu ta ütles.
And Paul says, declared to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead.
Ja Paulus ütlebki meile, et meie tunnistame ülestunud Jeesuse Kristuse väest.
And the gospel that we preach says you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Ja evangeelium, mida me tunnistame, see on usk sellest, et Jeesus on Jumala poeg.
And we know he is the Son of God because of his resurrection from the dead.
Ja meie teame, et on Jumala poeg, sest ta on surnust üles tõusnud.
But that's only one side of the coin of faith.
Aga see on ainult siis selle usu raha üks külg.
The other side of the coin of faith says, and if you will confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you will be saved.
Aga teine külg on, kui sa oma suuga tunnistad, et Jeesus on Issand, siis sa saad päästet.
It is not enough that I have confidence that he is the Son of God.
Ei ole mitte ainult see, et ma tean, et Jeesus on Jumala poeg.
I must also commit myself to him as the Lord of my life.
ma pean ennast temale üle andma kui oma elu isandale.
And if you will confess Jesus as Lord, you will be saved.
Ja kui te tunnistate temast, siis te saate päästet.
Now Luke said that first of all they believed.
Lukas ütles, et esmalt nad uskusid.
What did they believe?
Mida nad uskusid?
They believed that Jesus Christ was truly the Son of God.
Esmalt nad uskusid, Jeesus Kristus on tõesti Jumala poeg.
And what does Luke mean when he said they turned to the Lord?
Ja mida ta ütleb, kui ta ütles, nad pöördusid Issanda poole?
It means they turned from the old way of life.
See tähendas seda, et nad pöördusid ära vanast elustiilist.
And they now turned to the new way of life.
Ja nad asusid elama uut elu.
And they said, now Lord, what will you have us to do?
Ja nüüd nad ütlesid, Issand, mida sa käsid meil teha?
And out of that a church is born.
Ja sellest tekis kogudus.
A church is made up of a body of believers.
Kogudus koosneb usklikest inimestest.
A church is made up of those who believe in the sonship of Jesus Christ.
Kogudus koosneb nendest, kes usuvad Jeesuse Kristusega Jumala pojasse.
A church is made up of those persons who have committed themselves to the sovereignty of Jesus Christ.
Kogudus koosneb nendest, kes on annud ennast Jumala kõikvägevatesse kätesse.
And there in Antioch, a church was born.
Ja seal Antiookias kogudus sündis.
And I have discovered churches like that all over the world.
Ja ma olen avastanud niisugused kogudusi üle kogu maailma.
And as I come to Estonia, I look for the church here.
Ja kui ma olen tulnud Eestisse ja vaadan kogudus siin.
And I expect to find those who believe in the sonship of Jesus Christ.
Ja ma näen neid, kes usuvad Jeesuse Kristuse kui Jumala pojas.
And I expect those who have committed themselves to the sovereignty of the Lord in their lives.
Ja ma näen neid, kes on annud ennast Jeesuse Kristuse teenistus.
And on this the Lord has promised that we shall become the people of God.
Ja see on Jumala tõotus, kuidas me saame Jumala rahvaks.
By faith, these people have embraced Jesus Christ as the Son of God.
Oma usu läbi need inimesed said haaratud Jeesuse poolt.
Now Luke records that news of this reached the church at Jerusalem.
Ja nüüd Lukas kirjutab, et need uudised jõudsid Jerusalemma.
The First Baptist Church of Jerusalem heard that something was going on up at Antioch.
Jerusalemma esimene baptisti kogudus kuulis, et midagi on toimus Antiookias.
If you don't believe that was a Baptist church, you can discover in Luke 6.
Ja
Acts 6.
Apostlite teod kuues peatükk, võibolla ta ei usu, et see oli baptisti kogudus.
It said there was murmuring and disputing among them. It had to be a bunch of Baptists.
Baptistide tunnus, et nad sageli nurisevad ja vaidlad omavahel. See pidi olema seal baptisti kogudus.
But the church at Jerusalem heard that God was at work at Antioch.
Aga Jerusalemas kuuldi, et Jumal töötab Antiookias.
So what did the church at Jerusalem do?
Mida Jerusalema kogudus tegime?
They said, perhaps we better send them some help.
Võibolla me saadame neile mingit abi.
And they sent them the best help they had.
Ja nad saatsid seda parimat abi, mis neil oli.
They sent Barnabas.
Nad saatsid Barnabas sinna.
Now Barnabas was a great layman in the church.
Barnabas oli nimekas Jumala riigi tööline kogu.
He was probably the most gifted man that the church of Jerusalem had.
Ma usun, et ta oli enam vaimuannetega mees Jerusalemma kogutus.
He also probably was the wealthiest man.
Ja ma usun, et ta oli kaks rikas mees.
It was Barnabas who had sold his lands and laid the proceeds at the feet of the apostles.
Te tead, et tema müüs oma varanduse ära ja andis selle siis apostlite käsutusse.
And the church at Jerusalem sent Barnabas to Antioch.
Ja Barnabas sai saadetud Antiookiasse.
Now Luke said, when he arrived, he saw the evidence of the grace of God.
Ja Jumala sõna ütleb, kui ta nüüd sinna saabus, siis ta nägi, mida Jumal oli teinud, nägi Jumala armu.
And whenever I read that, I wonder what Barnabas saw when he came to Antioch.
Ja kui ma nüüd seda loen, siis ma kujutan ette, mida Barnabas Antiookias nägi.
He saw a group of believers just as I see today.
Ta nägi ühte gruppi usklike, nii nagu me näeme täna siin.
But he said, when I saw them, there was the evidence of the grace of God.
Aga mida tähendab see Jumala armu nägemine seal?
And I wonder, what is the evidence of the grace of God?
Mis on see Jumala arm, see nähtus?
And when I come to Tallinn, I expect to see the evidence of God's grace.
Ja kui ma Tallinna tulin, ma ootasin ka, et ma saan Jumala armu näha siin.
And this morning I asked, I wonder if I will see that evidence today.
Ja täna hommikul ma palusin, ma tahan seda ka täna näha.
But then I wondered if they would see the evidence of the grace of God in me.
Ja samamoodi ma palusin seda, et nemad võiksid Jumala armu näha minus.
When I come to Tallinn, would you see the evidence of God's grace in my life?
Kui mina tulen Tallinnasse, et minus võiks näha ka Jumala armu.
Well, what are the evidences of his grace?
Mis on siis Jumala armu väljendus?
I think there are two secrets in this chapter here.
Ja selles peatükis on nagu kaks saladust.
It said in verse 26, the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch.
26. salmis on öeldud, et Antiookias hakati kõige enne nimetama jüngrid kristlasteks.
Now this was not a name they chose for themselves.
See ei olnud mitte nimi, mida nad ise endale valis.
The church at Antioch did not meet and say, we need a name, what are we going to call ourselves?
Antiookia usklikud ei käitunud nii, et meil on vaja uut nime, mida me nüüd saame.
The community, their neighbors gave them the name.
See ühiskond, nende ümber andis neile selle nime.
Their neighbors looked at them and said, we know who they are.
Inimesed vaatsid nende peale, ütlesid, meie teame, kes nad on.
They said, they belong to Jesus.
Nemad kuuluvad Jeesusele.
And so the unbelievers called the believers Christians.
Ja uskmatud hakkasid nimetama usklike kristlastest.
And when I come to Tallinn, as I move around, I would expect people to say, I know who he is.
Ja ma tahaksin seda, et Tallinnas ka niimoodi oleks inimesed ütlevad, ma tean, kes ta on.
He belongs to Jesus.
Tema kuulub Jeesusele.
And how do they know we belong to Jesus?
Kuidas nad teavad, et me kuulume Jeesusele?
By the way we live.
Meie elustiili järgi nad hindavad.
And I have discovered that Christians live differently.
Ja ma olen avastanud, et kristlased peavad elama erinevalt.
We no longer walk after the world.
Meie ei käi enam maailma teedel.
But we walk in the steps of Jesus.
Vaid meie kõnnime Jeesuse jälgedes.
A Christian is known by his living.
Kristlane saab tuntuks tema oma elu läbi.
And I wish I had time to give you many illustrations of those whom I have met around the world. Who are living for Jesus.
Ja oleks palju rääkida nendest näidetest, nendest kristlastest, keda olen näinud ümber maailma.
They speak many different languages.
Nad kõnelevad erinevates keeltes.
They dress in many different ways.
Nad on riietatud väga erinevalt.
Some have very little of material gifts.
Paljutel on väga väiksed materiaalsed anded või rikkused.
Some have much material gifts.
Mõned on väga rikkad.
But they have one thing in common.
Aga nad on üks ühes asjas.
They seek to live like Jesus.
Nad tahavad elada nii nagu Jeesus.
They were called Christians at Antioch.
Ja Antiookias neid nimetati kristlastest.
And I would pray for the church here in Tallinn that they would be known by your living.
Ja ma palun selle pärast koguduste pärast Tallinnas, et nemad tunneksid teid meie elustiili järgi.
And that the world would say they live differently.
Ja maailm siis ütleb, nad elavad teisiti kui maailm.
But there's another secret about that church, and it's in the conclusion of that chapter.
Aga veel üks erinevus on, see on öeldud selle peatüki lõpus.
Word came to them that there was going to be a famine at Jerusalem.
Sõna tuli nendele, et Jerusalemas on nälg.
And in verse 29 it said, the disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Jerusalem.
Ja sõna ütleb, siis jüngrid võtsid nõuks iga üks seda mööda, kuidas kellelgi jõud oli saati abivendadele, kes elasid juudamaal.
The minute they heard that there was a need, they took an offering.
Just sellel minutil hetkel, kui nad kuulsid, et on vajadus, nad ohverdasid.
And I have discovered wherever I go that the church is known by its giving.
Ja igal pool, kus ma liigun, kogudus tuntakse tema andmise võime järgi.
Christians are a giving people.
Kristlased on jagajad inimesed.
Not only we receive from the Lord, but we give back.
Mitte ainult, et me Jumalalt peame saama, vaid meie peame ka tagasi andma.
Some years ago, I received a letter from a friend in Japan.
Mõni aasta tagasi ma sain kirja oma Jaapani sõbra.
We had a cold, hard winter in America.
Meil oli väga külm talv sellel ajal.
And my friend from Japan wrote to me and said, we have heard of your cold winter and your much snow.
Ja see jaapanlane kirjutab, ma olen kuulnud, teil on väga külm talv ja palju lund sellel aastal.
And so he said on the first Sunday in February, all of our churches in Japan have taken an offering.
Ja ta ütleb, et ühe kuu, siis veebruari kuu esimesel pühapäeval meie kõik kogudused ohverdavad.
And he sent a check for $1,500.
Ja ta saatis tšeki $15,000 peale.
And that day I wept.
Ja seda nad tegid.
I thought the gospel had gone to Japan.
Evangeelium on läinud Jaapanisse.
We had been enemies of the Japan.
Me oleme olnud jaapanlaste vaenlased.
We had dropped an atomic bomb on them.
Me oleme visanud neile aatomi pommi kaela.
But now the missionaries had gone.
Ja nüüd missionärid on läinud sinna.
And the church had been born.
Kogudused on tekkinud.
And now the Japanese thought that we were hurting in America.
Ja teised jaapanlased nüüd kuulevad, meil on vajadus Ameerika.
So they took an offering to share with us.
Ja nemad kogusid annetuse meie jaoks.
And I said that's only by the grace of God.
Ja see on ainult Jumala armu läbi.
Last November,
möödunud aasta novembriks,
35 Japanese pastors went to the Philippines.
35 Jaapani pastorit läksid Filipiinidele.
And they met together with our Philippine brethren.
Nad kohtusid oma Filipiini vendadega.
And all of them remember the horrors of World War.
Ja nad tuletasid meelde neid sõjakoledusi
meelde. And how the Japanese had come to that land and taken their people and imprisoned them.
Ja kuidas jaapanlased vallutasid Filipiinid, võtsid nende inimesed, vangistasid.
And now they came together as brothers in Christ.
Ja nüüd nad kohtusid kui vennad Kristuses.
And at that meeting, the Japanese brethren decided to support a Philippine nurse to go with the gospel to Ethiopia.
Ja sellel koosolekul Jaapani usklikud otsustasid toetada Filipiini vendi nende evangeelses töös.
And I'm just amazed at the grace of God.
Ja ma olen üllatunud Jumala armust.
But you see, Christians live differently and Christians learn how to give.
Kristlased elavad väga erinevalt, aga nad on õppinud, kuidas anda.
But wherever you find the church, you'll find the evidence of the grace of God.
Igal pool, kus te näete kogutuste ja näete Jumala armu väljendusi.
But there's a third thing about that church that I want to share with you this morning.
Aga veel üks kolmas asi, mida ma tahaksin jagada sellest kogutust täna hommikul.
Now by faith they have embraced Jesus Christ as the Son of God.
Oma usu läbi nad on haaranud kinni nagu Jeesusest Kristusest kui Jumala pojast.
And by their faith they have evidenced the grace of God.
Ja selle usu läbi nad jagavad ka seda Jumala armu.
Now in chapter 13 we discover by faith they are going to export the church of God.
Ja 13. Peatükis me näeme, kuidas usu läbi nad läksid ja viisid oma sõnumi välja.
Now Paul or Luke writes that in the church at Antioch there were prophets and teachers.
Lukas ütleb, et Antiookias olid profetid ja õpetajad.
And he names five of them.
Ja ta nimetab viit nendest.
There was Barnabas.
Barnabas.
There was Simeon called Niger.
Simon, keda hüüti Nigeriks.
There was Lucius of Cyrene.
Lucius Kyrenes.
There was Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch.
Manaen, kes nelimürsti rõuduska oli ühes kasvanud.
And there was Saul.
Ja Saulus.
Now, Barnabas had gone to Tarsus to get Saul to help him in the work of the ministry.
Barnabas läks Tarsusse päästa ja aidata Saulus Jumala riigi tööle.
And God had blessed that ministry.
Ja Jumal on õnnistanud seda
tööle. And we read that great number of people had been added to the church.
Ja me näeme, et suur arv inimesi on liitunud kogutusega.
Now in verse 2 it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit spoke to them.
Ja teises salmis selles 13. peatükis, kui need issanda teenisid ja paastusid, ütles püha vaim.
Now there are two questions that come to my mind when I read that.
Ja kaks küsimust tuleb mu pähe, kui ma loen seda.
First of all, what were these men doing?
Esiteks, mida need mehed tegid seal.
And secondly, how did the Holy Spirit speak to them?
Ja teiseks, kuidas püha vaim töötas nendega.
My Bible says that they were worshiping the Lord and fasting.
Meie piibel ütleb, nemad teenisid issandat ja paastusid.
Now this is an international trend. International version.
Yeah. See on temal siis rahvusvaheline piibli variant või tõlge.
But as I grew up, I had the King James version.
Aga mul on siis ka King Jamesi tõlge.
The King James version in this verse says they were serving the Lord in fasting.
Selles King Jamesis on öeldud, et nemad teenisid issandat ja paastusid. Like in our Bible.
Okay. This says they were worshiping the Lord.
Siin on öeldud, et nemad kummardasid Jumalat, aga vanas on nemad teenisid issandat.
Now I read this, I said, something is wrong with one of these translations.
Ja ma mõtlesin, et selles erinevuses midagi on neil viltu.
And I wondered which translation was correct.
Ja ma olin otsimas, milline on siis see õige tõlge.
Were they serving the Lord?
Kas nad teenisid issandat?
Or were they worshiping the Lord?
Või kummardasid nad issandat?
And so I began to look up that word.
Ja ma hakkasin otsima selle sõna tähendust algkeeles.
I found that word again in Romans 12:1.
Ja ma nägin, et see sõna on Rooma 12:1 uuesti.
Where Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God.
Nii nagu siin on öeldud, et ma manitsin nüüd vennad Jumala suure südamliku halastuse tõttu.
That you present your bodies unto him.
Andma oma ihud elavaks.
Which is your reasonable service.
Ja see on kui Jumala meelepärane ohver.
Is that the word? Yeah.
Service, meil on ohver, aga meil on Jumala meelepärane teenistus.
But my new translation says, which is your spiritual worship.
Aga uus tõlge ütleb, mis on teie vaimulik teenimine.
Now again, I wonder which is correct, is it service or worship?
Ma ei tea nüüd, mis on õige, siis see kummardamine või teenimine.
And then I discover that they both are correct.
Ja nüüd ma olen jõudnud veendus, nad on mõlemad õiged.
That when you serve God, you worship him.
Kui sa Jumalat teenid, siis sa ka kummardad tema eest.
And when you worship him, you serve him.
Ja kui sa kummardad tema, siis sa ka teenid teda.
On Sunday morning, when you come to church to worship God, you are serving him.
pühapäeva hommikul, kui te tulete kummardate Jumala ette, te tulete teda teenima.
On Monday morning when you go out to serve God, you are worshiping him.
Ja pesmaspäeva hommikul, kui te lähete teenima, siis te kummardate ka Jumala.
And that's what they were doing. They were worshiping, they were serving God.
Ja see on siis, mida nad tegid. Nad kiitsid kummardades ja teenisid teda.
Now I wonder what they are doing as they are worshiping, serving God.
Ja nüüd, mida nad siis tegid, kui nad teenisid ja kummardasid Jumala.
And I discovered that they are the planning committee of the church.
Ma avastasin, meil oli üks plaani komitee või kogudus.
I am not sure in your culture how you do, but in America many spend much time at planning.
Ma ei tea, kuidas teie kogudus on see tava, aga Ameerikas väga paljud usklikud koostavad plaanid kogudus.
And we have gone through a period when we talk about management by objectives.
Ja meie oleme niisugusest isegi manageride kursusest läbi läinud.
And some would say that has no place for the church.
Ja paljud ütlevad, et ei niisugusel plaanidel ei ole Jumala riigis kohta.
Because we just let the Spirit of God lead in our work.
Ja last Jumala vaim ainult juhid ja meie järgime.
But I do believe in planning.
Aga mina ka usun plaanimis.
I believe that God has a plan.
Mina usun, et Jumal on ka plaan.
And if planning is not spiritual, then God cannot be spiritual.
Ja see plaan on siis samamoodi vaimulik, kui Jumal on vaimulik.
Because he has planned out all the ages.
Sest Jumal on plaaninud kõik meie ajast.
And he has a place for me in his plan.
Ja minul on koht milles plaanis.
So I have tried to find out how does one plan effectively.
Ma tahaksin leida, kuidas see plaan töötaks efektiivselt.
And I would like to teach you the secret of a good plan.
Ja ma tahaksin õpetada teile ühe hea plaani saladus.
I spent many dollars to learn from an expert.
Ma olen kulutanud palju dollareid selleks, et ühe eksperdi käest õppida.
But he was just like a theologian, he used a lot of big words.
Aga ta oli nagu teoloog ikka, tal olid ainult suured sõnad.
And I could not understand it very well.
Ja ma ei saanud temast hästi aru.
And after the third day, I thought I had it figured out.
Aga kolmandal päeval alles ma tundsin, et ma hakkan midagi aru saama.
And I said, it seems to me there are three questions you have to ask in planning.
Ja ma sain aru, et on üks kolm põhi küsimus, mida tuleb küsida, kui sa plaani koostad.
The first question is, where are we?
Esimene küsimus, kus me oleme?
You have to assess your situation.
Teie peate kindlaks tegema oma olukorra.
You have to assess the climate in which you live.
Te peate kindlaks tegema selle kliima, milles te elate.
And you get all of this information put together.
Ja kogu selle informatsiooni peate panema kokku.
I would ask, how big is your church?
Ma küsin, kui suur on teie kogu?
How big is your community?
Kui suur on see ühiskond, kus te elate?
What kind of community do you have?
Milline on see seltskond, kus te elate? Kus inimesed mõtlevad?
What are the needs within your community?
Millised on teie ühiskonna vajadused?
These are all the questions that you ask.
Need on küsimused, mida peate küsima.
But the second question is,
aga teine küsimus on,
where do we want to go?
Kuhu me tahame minna?
Or it might be better asked, what does God want us to do?
Või õigem on ütelda, mida Jumal tahab meiega teha.
And then you set your objectives and your goals.
Ja siis te ütlete oma selle informatsiooni ja seate oma eesmärki.
This is what we would like to see accomplished.
Me tahame, et see töötas kompleksselt.
The third question is really the hardest.
Ja kolmas küsimus on kõige raskem.
And that is, how are we going to get there?
Kuidas meie siis saame seda teostada?
Now here the planning committee at Antioch began to meet.
Ja Antiochias just niisugune plaani komitee, kui me võiksime ütleda, hakkas tööle.
And they asked the first question, where are we?
Ja esimene küsimus, kus me oleme?
They said, we are here in Antioch and God has given us a great church.
Ja nad ütlesid, meie oleme siin Antiochias ja Jumal on kinkinud meile suure kogus.
And God has given us this new building and it's all paid for.
Ja Jumal on maksnud selle koguduse hoone eest, me kasutame seda.
And our church is growing.
Meie kogudus kasvab.
And in America we would say, and we have many Sunday school buses that are going all over the community.
Ja Ameerikas me ütleme, et meil on praegu pühapäeva koolibusse, mis pühapäeva hommikul sõidavad läbi kogu linnade.
And we now have the biggest Sunday school in the conference.
Ja meil on kõige suurem pühapäeva koolide liit.
God has blessed us very well.
Jumal on õnnistanud meid sellega.
But then the second question is, where does God want us to go?
Aga teine küsimus, kuhu nüüd Jumal sa saadab, mida peame tegema?
And as they discussed it that day, they said, maybe we better go back to the scriptures and find out what God wants us to do.
Ja kui nad seda arutasid, siis nad mõtlesid, võib-olla hakkame Jumala sõnast nutsima, mida Jumala käskinud teha.
And one of them said, remember Jesus said, and I want you to go and make disciples of all the nations.
Ja mäletage, Jeesus ütles, et minge kogu maailma, tehke jüngriks kõik rahva.
And one of them said, how can we here at Antioch make disciples of all the nations.
Ja kun hän seda nüüd lugenud, siis kuidas me Antiochias siin suudame teha siis?
Wardham said, I wonder if God knows there are over 500 million people in our world today.
Kas Jumal siis teab, et meil on peaaegu viis miljardit inimest tänapäeval maailmas?
How can we in Antioch reach 500 million people?
Ja sellel ajal 500 miljonit Antiochias, kuidas meie suudame neid haarata?
But another one said, remember Jesus said, wait here until you be endued with power from on high.
Aga tuletage meelde, mida Jeesus ütles, oodake ja mina annan teile väe.
And Jesus said, and then you'll be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth.
Ja kui te selle väe olete saanud, siis te olete minu tunnistajad Jerusalemas, Juuda ja Samaria maal.
And one of them said, how can we do that? The automobile hasn't even been invented yet.
Ja nad ütlevad, no kuidas me võime seda teha, meil ei ole autot isegi.
And we don't have any airplanes yet.
Meil ei ole lennukid.
And we don't have any radio yet.
Meil ei ole raadid tänapäeval.
How can we be a witness to all the world when all of these things haven't been invented?
Kuidas meie saame siis kuulutada?
Another one said, I don't know, but it seems that what God expects us to do.
Ja ma ei tea, aga Jumal on annud meile selle korralduse.
So then they asked themselves, well, ja. How did the gospel come to us?
Ja siis nad küsisid Antiochias, aga kuidas evangeelium jõudis meieni?
They said it seemed that somebody came from Jerusalem and shared the gospel with us.
Ja nendele näis, et keegi Jerusalemast tuli ja jagas lihtsalt evangeeliumise.
And so then they decided if the gospel is going from us, somebody's going to have to go from Antioch someplace else.
Ja nad jõudsid pühendumusele, kui evangeeliumi nii meile toodi, siis peab edasi niimoodi minema.
So they said as their goal, let us reproduce the church in other cities.
Ja nad seadsid oma eesmärki paljundame kogudusi, lubavad, et nad teistis linnades kogudusi tegiksid.
And then the question was, how are we going to do it?
Ja küsimus, kuidas nüüd me seda teeme?
They said, somebody is going to have to go from the church at Antioch.
Tulemuseks oli see, et keegi pidi Antiochiast minema välja.
And then they began then to ask, who should we send?
Ja siis oli küsimus, no keda me saadame välja?
And Wardham said, well, there's John Mark, he just graduated from the seminary and he has no place to serve.
Ja meil ei ole ka neid seminari õppilasi, keda saata.
Maybe we ought to send John.
Võibolla peame Johannese saatma.
But they said it may be very difficult to start a church.
Ja nad ütlesid, võibolla on väga raske asutada uut kogu.
Perhaps we need someone with experience and somebody with gifts.
Meie vajame kedagi, kellel on kogemused ja kellel on ka ennid.
And they said, here's Barnabas, he has these great gifts of administration.
Ja nad ütlesid, siin on Barnabas, tal on juhatamise and.
And here we have have Paul, who has these great gifts of discipling.
Ja siin on Paulus, kellel on jüngrite kasvatamise and.
They would be a great team.
Nendest kokku saab üks suur hea meeskond.
So one of them said, but that's our pastor and that's our associate pastor.
See on siis meie pastor ja meie abijutustaja.
But the Holy Spirit said to them, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work of the ministry.
Ja püha vaim ütles neile, eraldage mulle Barnabas ja Paulus tööle.
And the thing I want to say to you men today, that the work of ministry is not just building up the church.
Ja ma tahaksin ütleda täna, et Jumala riigi töö ei ole mitte ainult koguduse üles ehitamine.
When the Holy Spirit is speaking to the church, he will remind us that we must build out the church.
Vaid püha vaim, kui ta ütleb, siis ta ütleb, et te peate ka väljaspool ehitama oma kogudus.
But the church is not only to reproduce itself within itself.
Kogudus ei kasvata mitte ennast iseenesest üles.
But Jesus said, when I will build my church, the church will reproduce itself under the community.
Vaid Jeesus ütles, kui ma koguduse olen asutanud, siis ta peab ka laienema.
And that is not the responsibility of any single church.
See ei ole mitte ainult siis ühe üksiku koguduse vastutus.
Every true church which has committed itself to Jesus Christ.
Iga kaks kogudust, mis on end annud Jeesusele Kristusele.
Every true church which has experienced the grace of God.
Iga kaks kogudust, mis on tunnetunud Jumala armu.
Will become a body of believers that will export the church of God.
Võivad saada selleks Kristuse välja viijaks.
Now I would like to just talk to you about that strategy today.
Ma tahaksin sellest strateegiast rääkida tänapäeval.
Yesterday we talked about three ways of reproducing churches.
Eile me rääkisime kolmest kogudute asutamise teest.
Sometimes a church will become a parent for another church.
Mõnikord olemasolev kogudus võib saada naaberkoguduse sünnitajaks või vanemaks talle.
Sometimes they take a group of their members and they say, now you will begin a new church here. It's just like parents who marry off their children.
Ja see on samamoodi nagu vanemad saadavad oma lapsed abiellumisel välja kodust.
And they start a new household and a new family.
Ja nemad asutavad oma uue kodu, uue perekonna.
They are part of the same relationship but a new family.
Ja nad on samas osaduses, kuid see on uus perekond.
And they in turn reproduce again.
Ja nemad omakorda jälle paljunevad.
Some churches are not able to do that by themselves.
Paljud kogudused ei ole iseseisvalt suutelised seda tegema.
And so they will get together and in a partnership that they will decide to plant a church in a given place.
Selleks nad peamalt moodustama niisuguse osaduse gruppi, selleks et ühes koos asutada uus kogu.
And sometimes we do it in what we call pioneering.
Ja mõnikord me nimetame seda ka kui pioneeritööd.
And this is what we do when we send missionaries to another land.
Ja see tähendab seda, et meie saadame missionäri teise maale.
You go to another culture and you plant the church there.
Ja sa lähed teise kultuuri keskele ja moodustad seal uue kogu.
Or maybe to another community in our own country.
Ja võib-olla mõne teise ühiskonna keskele ka oma maal.
But always we ask the Holy Spirit, what would you have us to do?
Aga kõik, mis me küsime, on pühe vaim näita, mida me peame tegema.
Will you give us the wisdom to do it?
Anna meile tarkust seda teha.
And always the message comes back again, separate unto me these for the work of the ministry.
Ja vastus tuleb alati, eralda mulle need inimesed tööle.
Now we have discovered if we are going to grow as a fellowship of churches.
Ja nüüd kui me siis kasvame kui koguduste osadus.
We must start new churches.
Ja me peame alustama uusi kogudusi.
Not always, but often older churches cease to reproduce as fast.
Ja vanemad kogudused nagu on erilises vastus selle eest.
Just like some of us in our marriage, when we have been married over 50 years, we no longer had children.
Selle tõttu, kui me vanaksame, kui me oleme näiteks 50 aastat olnud abielus, siis me enam lapsi ei saa.
But we expect that our children will reproduce.
Meie usume seda, et meie lapsed.
And we expect that our grandchildren will
reproduce. Ja meie usume, et meie lapsed arendavad seda edasi.
And so as we plant new churches, we find that they usually reproduce faster.
Ja kui me siis need uued kogudused asutame, siis me näeme, et need uued kogudused on sageli viljakamad vanades.
Older churches cease to grow.
Vanad kogudused ka kasvavad.
Some begin to decline.
Mõned jäävad seisma, vähenema isegi.
And some even pass out of existence.
Ja mõned vanad isegi lähevad välja.
But new churches begin.
Aga uued kogudused tulevad.
And they will grow faster than the older churches.
Nemad kasvavad palju kiiremini kui vanad.
So without planting new churches, we will die.
Ja seega, kui meie ei asuta uusi kogudusi, me sureme välja.
And a family that does not reproduce children will die.
Ja see perekond, kus ei ole lapsi, see perekond sureb välja.
We also recognize that God works in different cultures.
Me oleme ka veendunud seda, et Jumal töötab erinevates kultuurides.
There was one day when we were a Swedish Baptist group.
Oli üks päev, kui me olime Rootsi baptistide grupp.
Our people in that day were suspect of anybody who wasn't born again in the Swedish language.
Ja meie kuulutasime just rootsi keelt kõnelevate inimeste hulgas.
Because they knew God spoke Swedish.
Ja nad mõistsid seda, kuidas Jumal räägib rootsi keeles.
They talked to him in Swedish and he talked to them in Swedish.
Nemad rääksid Jumalaga rootsi keeles ja Jumal rääkis nendega rootsi keeles.
And if you didn't use Swedish, they were a little suspect of your experience.
Ja nad hoidsid sellest kogemusest kinni.
But then just like the apostles of old, they discovered when they shared the word of God with the Greeks, that they also believed.
Aga siis nad avastasid järsku nii apostlid, et kreeklased usuvad ka Jumala.
Now we no longer speak Swedish in our denomination.
Ja nii meie oma venduses enam ei räägi rootsi keelt.
But we have many Hispanic churches.
Meil on palju Hispaania kogudusi nüüd tekkinud.
We have 19 black churches.
Ja meil on 19 mustade kogudus.
Last year, two of our old Swedish Baptist churches called black pastors.
Ja kaks meie vana traditsioonilist rootsi kogudust kutsusid omale mustad pastorid möödunud aastal.
Because their communities have changed.
Selle pärast, et keskkond on muutunud, me elame.
The white people had moved out.
Valged inimesed liiguvad linnast välja.
The black people had moved in.
Ja mustad tulevad sinna sisse.
But they shared the gospel with those who were black.
Ja nüüd tuleb jagada evangeeliumi nendega, kes on mustad.
And they became believers.
Ja nad said uskud.
And now the Swedish Baptist Church is a black Baptist Church.
Ja nüüd siis Rootsi Baptisti kogus on mustade kogus.
And we praise God for that.
Ja meie täname Issandat selle.
Next August, 22 Filipino pastors in America will be meeting in our office.
Järgmise kuu augustis tähendab 22 Filipiini rahvusest pastorid kogunevad meie keskusesse.
We want to work with them to help reach the many Filipino people who are coming to our country.
Ja meie kutsume nad kokku selleks, et aidata neil töötada filipiinlaste keskel, kes meie maale nüüd tulevad.
And I'm excited that we can have a little part with them.
Ja ma usun, et see on üks suur töö.
We have a Bible school in Chicago with over 100 students who are studying in Spanish language.
Chicagos on meil hispaaniakeelne piiblikool, kus õpib umbes 100 õpilast.
So we believe God has called us to reproduce the church in every culture.
Jumal on kutsunud meid arendama kogudust kõikides kultuurides.
Whether it's in our land or in another land.
Kas see on meie maal või mitte meie maal.
Now I must confess to you, my brothers, that we have failed many times.
Aga ma pean teile tunnistama, vennad, et me oleme mõnikord mitte täitnud seda ülesannet.
And I cannot say we've always been faithful to the call of God for us.
Ja meie alati ei ole olnud ustavad Jumala kutsene.
But today it's my burden that the Spirit of God would speak again and again to our churches.
Aga täna ma tunnen, et see on Jumala katsumus, kui Püha Vaim töötab enam ja enam me kogudustes.
And that we might hear His word for us.
Et me võiksime kuulda tema häält meie jaoks.
That we would separate unto Him those choice vessels within our church for the work of the ministry.
Et me võiksime temale eraldada need välja valitud anumad tema riigi tööks.
That the Church of God would be reproduced.
Et selleks, et tema kogudus areneks.
Now there's one bit of bad news about this story.
Ja üks halb uudis selles sõnumis ka.
When I read Paul's letter to the Philippians,
kui ma loen Pauluse kirja filippastele,
I always read it with real regret.
Ma loen seda nagu niisuguse kurvastusega mõnikord.
For in the fourth chapter, Paul writes to the church at Philippi.
Teadikis Paulus kirjutab.
And he says to that church, I thank God for you.
Ta ütleb, et mina usun, Jumal on teie poolt.
Because when I was in need, you only supplied that need.
Sest kui ma olin raskustes, teie ainsatena toetasite mind.
Now that's great if you're a part of the church at Philippi.
See on suur, kui te olete, hea asi, kui te olete siis Filippi koguduse liige.
Because Paul said, you helped me and you were the only one who helped me when I was in need.
Ja Paulus ütleb, teie aitasite mind ja teie ainsatena aitasite mind.
But when I read that, I wondered what happened to the church at Antioch.
Ja kui ma seda lugesin, siis ma mõtlesin, mis juhtus Antiookia kogudusega.
I remember that church laid their hands on him and sent him off.
Ja ma tuletasin meelde, kuidas nad saatsid oma töötegijad välja.
And I am reminded that they prayed for him and promised him that we will support you.
Ja ka Paulus oli välja saadetud ja nad tõotust, et meie palume sinu eest ja toetame sind alati.
But apparently one day the church at Antioch forgot about them.
Ja ühel päeval Antiookia kogudus unustas ära Paulus.
And I'm afraid that one day the church at Antioch died.
Ja ma kardan, et ühel päeval Antiookia kogudus suri.
And the reason the church at Antioch would die is because they ceased to live and to give.
Ja selle pärast ta suri, et ta unustas andmise vajadus.
Sometimes the organization continues. But the church may die.
Aga kogudus võib surra.
Jesus said, I said, I will take the light from out of the candlestick.
Ja Jeesus ütleb, ma võtan küünla, küünla jalant ära.
Because you've not been faithful to what I've asked you to do.
Sest sa ei ole olnud uskav selles, kus ma käsin seda.
My prayer for the church at Tallinn is that you would be faithful.
Minu palve teie koguduste pärast, et teie võiksid olla ustavad.
And that somehow God would use the church at Estonia not only to reach your country, but our world for Christ.
Ja mitte ainult, et teie kogudusi kasutaks ainult Eesti rahva jaoks, vaid kogu maailmale Jeesuse Kristuse kulutamist.
And if you ask me, Warren, how can we do it?
Ja te küsite, Warren, kuidas me seda saame siis teha?
I will say, I don't know all the answers, but I know one promise.
Ma ei tea teile vastuseid anda, aga ma tean ühte tõudus.
You just wait upon him until you're endued with power from on high.
Ja oodake ja püha vaim annab teile jõu ja väe, kuidas seda teha.
Out of you will go a witness that will touch not only Estonia and the USSR,
ja igale poole te võite minna kuulutada, et te ei puuduta mitte ainult Eestit või Nõukogude Liitu.
And it will not only touch all of Europe.
Või mitte ainult Euroopat.
But it will be a witness that will touch the whole world.
Aga minna välja selle teadmisega kuulutada kogu maailma.
For God's power knows no boundaries.
Sellepärast, et Jumala vägi ei tunne mingit piire.
And I pray that God would use you for his glory.
Ja ma palun, et Issand teid kasutaks selleks.